Hey, we are back. It is whatever day it is we usually do this, and it's VoiceOver Body Shop.
Monday night.
Thank you. And we've got a great guest tonight. Mara Juno is going to be joining us. Hey, Mara, how's it going?
What's up?
All right. We've got a chat. We've got chat rooms everywhere. You know, we've got chat room, on Facebook. We have a chat room on YouTube. We have a chat room in Clubhouse for
it's
all
a
you
voice
guys.
Chat.
And if you have a question for Mara or a question for George and I, you can throw it in there. You can ask it live on Clubhouse.
Yes, you can.
And you can
questions in any of those chat rooms.
Any of those chat rooms.
Jeff Holman
is there.
He's there.
He's in Vancouver.
In the spirit of Canada.
Yes. Anyway,
he's working.
Guess what? It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop with Mara Juno, our guest, right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, bringing you talks with the biggest names in the VoiceOver world today, letting you ask your questions and giving you the latest information to make the most of your VoiceOver business. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, JMC Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
Well, hey there, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. All right. Well, we're in a new set here. Well, it's not a new set. It's where I usually hang out.
We flipped the cameras around. Yeah. We are literally showing you the behind the scenes. We thought the behind the scenes was more interesting.
Right. Well, but now when we have a guest in studio, we can have them on the couch.
Over there. More comfort, more space.
It'll be fine.
More green screen for a while. Now we can wear
green.
Look, there's green on my shirt too.
Yeah. And can you tell us apart?
Not if we hold still.
So anyway, we've been gone for a while, and we decided to make a few changes. But while we were gone, the reason we were gone is because the missus and I decided to get the heck out of here for a couple of weeks and go to someplace unique. We went to Iceland.
That is unique.
And it's a beautiful country.
Sounds like a bucket list destination.
It actually was a bucket list destination. And before we get to our great guest, because we haven't talked to Mara in a long time, but I have condensed down what we did into 3 minutes.
Well, I want to see that.
Let's roll that, Sue.
Marcy's already slipped twice.
Because my glasses got so fogged I could not see where I was walking.
Thank you.
between the North American and European plates, and you'll notice that the North American plate is much larger than the European plate.
Reminds me a lot of Niagara Falls, just not quite as much time.
Well, we've climbed about 1,500 feet. The valley, and there's the volcano right there. Let me see if I can zoom in.
God, it was a lot of fun.
It was.
I mean, to watch. If you've ever been on a Viking cruise, it's first class. It really is. You know, there was only 50% capacity on the ship because of COVID, and they were just starting to get up again. So it was like being on Downton Abbey. You know, someone was there to take care of you every second of the way. You know,
nice.
You know, they would start to, Mr. Dan, you came for tea. Go on the other side of the ship. Why you not come over? It's nothing personal. I'm meeting someone over here.
How many people are on the ship again?
Passengers, there was about 375.
Oh, that's nice. That's intimate.
Oh, it was, you know, and you
that's,
know, you,
that's you, one you, tenth the number on like a Royal Caribbean.
Oh, absolutely.
Monster, you know, monster ship.
Right. And we were meeting people, and we were having a great time. Go to Iceland. As you can see, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They have a couple of sayings, though. One is, you know, if you don't like the weather in Iceland, wait a minute, it'll get worse. Although, as you can see, we did have some really good weather for the things that we really wanted to see. And the other is, if you get lost in a forest in Iceland, stand up. There's no
think about that one.
Yeah, there's not a lot of trees there.
Think about that.
It's been deforested, and they're trying to reforest it anyway. So that was my vacation. How was your vacation?
My vacation, you know, didn't do a whole lot yet, although actually that's not true. Well, did I go to Philadelphia? Was it before we went off the air?
Right after.
We did a Philadelphia trip, Westchester, Pennsylvania, visit the family. It was lovely. Daughter was there, Ella, and my lovely girlfriend, Firuza, was able to finally come and meet my dad. She hadn't met my dad before. So it was a wonderful time. Yeah,
right.
We had a great break.
Ah, and now we're back doing VoiceOver Body Shop because you guys, it's getting emails. I missed my VOBS. Where are
people
you guys?
Wait, when
are you
coming back? Fix.
They need their fix. Well,
I love it.
Here you go.
It feels good to be needed.
That's right. So we're here to talk about VoiceOver and your home VoiceOver studio and all that sort of stuff. But what we really like to do is talk to our favorite people in the voiceover business.
The best talent out there.
The best talent out there. And our guest tonight is somebody who we've both known her for well over 10 years.
Yeah, I would say it's for getting into that ballpark. You know,
since she was in elementary school. But she was already a great voice actor, and she's had quite a career. And I'd say she's just getting going right now.
Yeah.
Let's welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop the lovely Mara Juno. Mara, welcome back.
Hey, what's up, guys?
As you can see, we've been very busy.
Now, Mara, I want to tell you that one of the reasons you're on the show this week is because you are a requested guest by my girlfriend Firuza, because I would show her clips of yours on Instagram all the time. And she talked,
oh my goodness.
I was talking to her like, who should we have on? Who do you think? And she's like, you remember the, you know, so that's one of the reasons you're here today, because she finds you incredibly entertaining and talented. So,
oh my goodness, that is so sweet. Thank you.
I mean, that's an assumption, because we know that we love you. Just so you know, my partner does too.
Oh, that made my day. Thank you.
Well, we're starting off on a good tone then.
So we're buttering her up.
I know.
The hard balls are coming later.
Right.
Yeah. We've known you for a long time. You know, I can remember being at FAFCONs with you. I remember, yeah. I can remember all of us lying on a bed in FFCon and getting kicked out because we were making too much. This is a bunch of adults.
Totally. They book a voiceover conference in a hotel. Did they have any clue what they were?
Exactly.
Is that why they have to get a new hotel for every FAFCON?
It might have been why.
Yeah.
Probably.
Why they won't let Amy do that it anymore.
That was the one.
Yeah. Anyway, so you've since we first met and you've been doing all sorts of great work. Talk about your career so far. How did you get started in voiceover? Where are you from originally, and how did you drift into this nutsy biz?
Oh my goodness. I am from a little town called Houma, Louisiana, which is about 45 minutes west of New Orleans. And I got into voiceover because I was a radio DJ for about 7.5 years. And I was doing everything I was literally doing 3 stations at once. I kept getting promoted to different stations. And I was doing a morning show for a classic rock and modern alternative station. Then I was switching over and doing middays on a country station. And then I'd run right over and do afternoon drive on a adult contemporary station. So after about 7-8 years of that, started going bananas. There was pretty much nowhere else for me to get promoted to. We had a cluster of 4 stations. The 4th station was an ESPN affiliate, and I wasn't about to do that. And I had no interest in being a program director or anything like that. And radio, you know, if you're from radio at all, it's a crazy biz. So I had my fill. Yeah.
You and I had parallel careers, apparently. It's like, yeah. I worked for 16 different stations in 1 year. It's a modern day record.
That is a record. Yeah. So it was nuts. And I just decided it was time to do something else. I had no plan B, though, when it was time to go. And at the time, radio was pretty much my favorite thing in the world because I got to listen to music, talk for a living, and make friends and get paid. Not much, albeit, but yeah. So when I left, I was like, well, maybe I should go back to school for media broadcasting or something like that, because it was the only job that I'd had out of a gazillion other things that I actually liked for the first time. Then it occurred to me about voiceover, because I'd always actually wanted to be an actress. But you know, as the times have changed and, you know, people's accessibility to everybody's life through, you know, their cell phones and social media, everything being so invasive, it just kind of lost its appeal. And I was like, you know, I want my privacy. I don't necessarily want to be some on-camera actor. And so then, you know, I realized one day, I kind of had the light bulb go off. It's like, wait a minute, I can voice act. I can do the acting thing, but kind of be behind the scenes. And so, there wasn't really a lot of outlets in Houma in terms of agencies, you know, any sort of, you know, teachers and just working people in the industry. So I really kind of had to look online. Like, thank God for, you know, everything being on the internet, because it gave me access that I normally would not have had to this world. And so I just started immersing myself in the world of voiceover. I would spend 16, 18 hours a day just from the moment I woke up, just listening to podcasts, you know, logging into forums, Facebook groups, you know, VoiceOver Universe, studying all, you know, who are all the top agencies out there, researching who their top talent were, listening to demos, doing homework on that, you know, what makes a good demo, what should be on a demo, blah, 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 blah. You know, what's the difference between commercial and promo and trailer and blah, 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 and just soaking it all in and yeah, as much media as I could find, as many books as I could find, and just went full force. And I started it with pay-to-play services. That's kind of how I was able to get my foot in the door. I started setting up profiles online on pretty much any website I could find that was related to voiceover. I just was Googling daily. If I found anything related to voiceover, I signed up for it. There's a lot of sites I do not recommend to this today now, but some of them don't exist anymore. Yeah. So that's kind of how I kind of got into the biz, so to speak. I know everybody's got like a different path, but that's kind of how mine was in terms of getting in.
Right. Yeah. So, and the pay-to-plays were great to start with because you could, you know, you had access to all sorts of different material. Plus, you know, 10, 12 years ago, there weren't as many people on them.
Exactly.
So it was a lot easier to, you know, and once you get a client, you make them a client forever.
Right, right. Sure, some did. Of my clients to this day, yeah, some of my buyers to this day are from pay to plays, you know, and I still use, you know, a service here and there, but I don't really audition actively, you know, I just am on and have profiles where people can reach me.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, our guest is Mara Junot. She is a wonderful voice actress, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it takes to succeed in this business, because you're still doing it and you're clearly making a living doing it. So it must be possible.
Oh, yeah.
So now that we're getting past the pandemic, how did it affect you? Was it more business, less business? What was your overall impression of what the pandemic did to your business?
I know everybody's mileage varies, but for me, yeah, things did not slow down at all. I feel like I was inundated with, I'm sure we all were inundated with commercials, you know, starting with, you know, in these unprecedented times. You know, if I had to say the word unprecedented time, you know, one more time, after about a month, I was going to lose my mind. Like, everybody thought it was an original idea. Right. But no, voiceover really was one of the only genres of acting and entertainment that really started thriving more so when everything else was shutting down. And that certainly was my experience, a lot more commercial work. It took a minute for, you know, like the games and animated shows to kind of figure out how to get it done. But I like kudos to so many amazing studios where, you know, people started putting together mobile rigs where, you know, they would send like couriers to the house with a whole mic and, you know, temporary booths if he didn't have a booth set up and all this stuff. And they made sure they kept the show rolling. So, you know, like you said, I've been doing this for over 12 years now, 12 and a half years. It's going to be like 13 in August. And I started from home in a home studio in a small town. So it really wasn't a big transition for me because I work every day out of my home studio anyway. So engineering my own stuff and all that really wasn't a problem. It was just a lot more Zoom sessions than I was used to. But yeah, it was really pretty much business as usual, just a lot less going into actual studios. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Of course. And you were able to start a home studio because you were in radio. You probably did radio production. You understood how to use a VU meter and how to record and that sort of stuff. And that's really, really important. Yet there are so many people in radio who don't succeed at it because they can't make that transition. How did you make that transition? What did you said you did a lot of research and you really did your homework on it.
Sure.
How were you able to change your delivery from, you know, hey, it's 20 minutes after the hour to doing, you know, conversational voiceover?
I think it was a mindset shift. I realized that, you know, when I first got into voiceover, being from radio, you know, I heard constantly that being from radio was kind of the kiss of death. So I was already kind of aware of that. And, you know, for the very reason you mentioned, it's because in radio, it's kind of generally, I'm sure the trends have been changing. I don't listen to a ton of terrestrial radio anymore. But, you know, when I was a radio DJ, you know, it was more about just kind of having the pleasant delivery versus, you know, really just being yourself. And let's face it, there's not a ton of acting involved. You know, you're doing a lot of local spots and things like that that don't necessarily require the same finesse as a national commercial. So once I realized, you know, that it was more about voice acting, you know, and it is just acting without, you know, your face involved, I really started paying more attention to the nuances and stuff. I started taking, you know, voice acting classes, you know, here and there, and start training with coaches. And that's what I think really helped me get to the next level. Just in terms of even just helping me with mic technique, you know, because when you're in radio, you know, you got your mouth, you're eating up that RE20, you know, and you don't really worry
about it.
So it's like a whole different world getting on a Neumann TLM 103 or something. So, I just started studying and coaching a lot and started learning, you know, I've always kind of, I hate to say like I'm a natural actress or anything, but acting is reacting, right? And
absolutely.
I've always been fascinated with people in general. I've studied psychology most of my adult life. I study, you know, I've just been fascinated. I was bullied as a child, and my defense mechanism to try to cope with why people do the bad things that they do was to try to always put myself in other people's shoes and you know, empathize and understand why they might make the choices that they make, which really is the foundation of acting. So it's just a natural practice that I kind of already had baked in when I came into this industry. So that really, I feel like in many ways gave me a leg up, because that's kind of what we're doing all day, especially when you're doing, you know, character-based work like animation or video games. You know, it's about getting into somebody else's life and trying to make that come to life and understanding their motives that may be different from your own. And that's just something I naturally have been fascinated with for most of my life.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are fascinated with it, but they don't get it.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, to be successful, you really do need to understand those things and understand basic acting and stuff. Once again, we're talking with Mara Juno here on VoiceOver Body Shop. If you have a question for her, throw it in the chat room. I know Jeff Holman is sitting up there in a hotel room in Vancouver listening to us tonight.
Yeah, he's working.
He's still working for us, and we really appreciate it. You can type your question in there. If you're on Clubhouse and you have a question for Mara, you can ask it live on Clubhouse, which is really cool. We've got all this fascinating technology to do this kind of stuff. Anyway, so what have you been working on lately? What's the hot stuff? You keep saying you're running yourself ragged and stuff, and there must be a lot of different things. What kind of stuff are you doing that you can tell us about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different things. Let's see. I mean, as you guys may know, I do regular promo work for CNBC. I'm the voice of the news with Shepard Smith on CNBC. So if you tune in any day of the week, pretty much you'll hear me as the opening announcer and closing announcer. And I do a lot of the daily promos.
And yes, that is a character, everybody.
Yeah, it's a character for me.
That's not Mara. That's a character that Mara does. And announcer, that's called an announcer.
Serious announcer, Mara. I do promo, and I've also been doing promos for Lifetime, ESPN, and my main bread and butter usually throughout the course of the week. I mean, most days of the week, I'm in some sort of video game session in the afternoon. And those usually run about 4 hours, but I'm doing a lot of big video games. It's just been, I just can't express how grateful I am. It's just been really a long time dream come true. Of course we just moved, you know, to Woodland Hills. And so I'm like recovering from that. That's only been 2 weeks ago. Just moving two studios because, you know, my wonderful partner, Jordan Reynolds, he has a full studio as well, and his studio bricks. And so I had to set up two studios.
You guys don't share?
No, I don't really want to share. I wish. To share. So yeah, in like a course of a weekend, we got two booths built and studios wired and set up and getting all that back in order, getting things out of boxes. But yeah, day to day, I'm usually working on video games. I've been fortunate recently to be in some really awesome games. I'm a big character in Fortnite. She's called Dr. Sloan. I'm also, I just recently became the voice of Ikora Ray in Destiny 2. Was played by Gina Torres previously. Let's see. There's a huge game you may have heard of, Genshin Impact. I'm one of the characters, Lisa the librarian there. And yeah, it's just been awesome, and a lot of different animated projects. Animation takes a long time to come out, so a lot of stuff I can't talk about. But
video games.
Oh my god! Let's put it this way: we moved to LA. I found out about the animated show that brought me to LA in the winter of 2016, and it's just been announced that it'll be coming out soon. So that gives you an idea of how long animation takes. It can take years. Okay. But I am on a series called Doug Unplugs. It's an Apple Plus exclusive from DreamWorks. And I play the lead character, Emma. I play her mom, Monica Pine. Just a lot of stuff. It's just the inbox does not stop. It's been really great. I have some really great reps.
Clearly, I mean, that's quite a stack of wax you got going on there. How did you find your way into video games? I mean, you came to LA to try and get into that kind of stuff. How did you make your way in there? Because it
was animation first, then games, right?
No, video games were actually my first. It's funny. My very first video game was a game called Kung Fu Live. And I was hired off of my commercial demo on LinkedIn. I didn't apply for it. The producer just found me.
Notes on that one.
Yeah. And I wound up being like the player character and all the female characters in the game. But where I really started to like make more traction was the phenomenal Dave Fennoy helped me to get into the Walking Dead video game from Telltale, which was a huge hit back in 2011, 2012. And I played a character named Krista. She was awesome. We don't know what happened to her. I think she's still alive. I believe that she's still alive. But she was kind of kidnapped and that's all she wrote. But that was kind of my first big foray into like a big AAA, you know, video game from a big developer. And then just started slowly picking up traction from there, doing work with wonderful people like Lonnie Manella at Audio Gods. She got me cast in some wonderful things. Like I am a Klingon. I'm like the lead Klingon Ja'ula in Star Trek Online. Wow. And in some other projects. So yeah, it just slowly started building. And when I first got in, I tried everything. I wanted to do everything like all of us do, right? We just like, I can do trailer. I can do this. I can do that. And I just studied my butt off. You know, I worked with every possible, you name a coach, I've probably worked with them at least once. I just believe that you should get a good, well-rounded education in this business and see what works for you. And then you'll slowly find your way, or it will find you. You know, for instance, I get a lot of political work, and I only slapped together a political demo in the past few months, but it's never something that I pursued. I think it's just something about my delivery or something, the tone of my voice, but it's just, I don't know, clients tend to gravitate to me for that sort of work. And that's just kind of how this industry goes. You know, you just have to train, be ready, aim for what you want to go for, but you never know where it may take you. The clients may take you, you know, your buyers may take you in a different direction. But I've just kind of branched out in a lot of different directions to see what would stick. And surprisingly, a lot of things stuck. And now I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to kind of narrow things down, because, really? You know, there's only so many hours in the day.
The Invite the Avalanche? Who is it?
That's yeah.
Oh, that was Bob Sauer.
Bob Sauer.
Yeah. Invite the Avalanche.
Here it is. She is completely buried here.
Yeah, that's a quality problem. Now you got to sort it all out.
That's right. Boy, we are very proud of you. Knowing knowing you, when you were just starting out, and to see what you're doing now, that's impressive.
Thank you.
What's your favorite genre of stuff to do?
Definitely character work, video games and animation. By far. It's just, there's just nothing like getting to play a good juicy villain. There's nothing like it. Yeah. You know, just getting to step out of my own skin for a few and just let out my frustration.
That's what they always say, is villains.
Villains are the best, because you really, I mean, like, especially when I play a character like, you know, Sindel in Mortal Kombat or Evelyn in League of Legends. I mean, I really can get out a lot of aggression on the mic. It's fantastic.
Firuza, I think I might need to start casting you.
There you go.
Games doing bad people. You can leave it all in the mic. You leave it all in the booth.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I'm getting typecast lately, because I'm getting a lot of roles where I'm just like kind of queen bitch. You know what I mean? You need an authoritative, pissed off sort of leader chick. You call me.
Well, once again, we're talking with Mara Juno, who apparently just was able to eke out just enough time with us today.
No kidding.
She's kind of busy. Again, if you've got a question for her, throw it in the chat room, or if you're on Clubhouse, you know, you can ask your question personally on the air. even though we're on the internet.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll get a few people from Clubhouse in there. Or on YouTube Live, if you happen to be watching there, you can also use that chat room, and we will get that question to her. But we're going to take a break right now so we can help our sponsors get their message out to you. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mara Juno here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Don't go away.
I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Bean old body shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
Stick around. You don't want to miss this. Look what you made me do. Power 1039.
At Target, we want you to come as you are. Be comfortable. Okay, maybe not bathrobe comfortable.
Pants for the customer in aisle 4, please.
Nuevo México necesita un cambio. La representante Michelle Lujan Grisham ha luchado por nuestro estado en la Cámara de Representantes.
Watch anywhere, anytime, on an unlimited number of devices. Sign in with your Netflix account to watch instantly at Netflix.com.
The ice cream maker is a big risk that can have huge reward. Until you forget to turn it on.
Well, that's it, guys. Time is up.
Hey, it's JMC. Thanks for watching the VoiceOver Body Shop. If you're demo ready or looking to get there, check out jmcdemos.com and see a sample of our work. Now let's get back to Dan and George and this week's Tech Wisdom.
We've been sequestered for over a year, forced to watch undubbed Turkish soap operas.
Nereden geldiğimi bilmiyorum. Ya da nereye gittiğimi.
And face it, we're all zoomed out. But now it's time to get back on the road again.
And if you have to record your voiceover tracks on the road, there's no better way than to use a Harlan Hogan Portabooth Plus. With one zipper assembly in seconds and lined in Orlex studio foam, the Portabooth Plus is your answer to professional recordings on the road. And because summer travel and remote recording are finally back, here's VoiceOver Essentials gift to you. Only for VoiceOver Body Shop viewers, buy a Portabooth Plus and you'll get their fabulous Portabooth Plus travel bag absolutely free. Just go over to voiceoveressentials.com/booth and bag and just click on the Portabooth Plus carry-on travel bag buy now button below. No promo code needed.
Hi, here I am in my normal workspace with a question. What's the biggest challenge you have with VoiceOver? What's been the puzzle you need to solve? The question you need answered. Well, David H. Lawrence XVII and the coaching team at VOHeroes.com want to know. They're creating new courses and training, and they want to know what you need most. And it's easy to let them know. Just drop an email to david@VOHeroes.com. That's david@VOHeroes.com. And let him know what you'd like to know. Is it tech-oriented? Is it auditioning? Is it about booking more work, finding an agent, podcasting, audiobooks, performance questions? Whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that makes you scratch your head, or what you've always wanted to know about success in VO. Email David and ask. The email address again is david@voheroes.com.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on The VoiceOver Body Shop.
And we are back with Mara Juno here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Welcome back, Mara.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
Where are you sitting right now? On your patio?
I am on the balcony, yes, of the new place. Oh, my God.
Are you in the wooded part of Woodland Hills?
It is the wooded part of Woodland Hills, yes. That was definitely something on our wish list.
You're south of Ventura, then?
Yes. South of Ventura. Beautiful. Sitting in the trees. I'm in my happy place right now.
That's awesome. I lived in Topanga on the other side of the hill for 4 years. So I know what that feels like.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it is warmer in Woodland Hills than it is everywhere else.
It's toastier. Yeah. It's a little toastier. If we ever get a little chilly, drive up the hill.
Right.
Yeah, they say that, but Burbank is damn hot. I tell you what.
Yeah, Burbank is hot.
We were dying in Burbank.
That's why Marcy and I have decided in the hottest days of the summer, go to cold places.
There you go.
Go to Iceland, you know.
Good idea.
One year we went to Chile. It was winter down there. And, you know. And
when Chile is chilly.
When Chile is very chilly, depending on what part. Remember, it's a long country.
I've had a lot of people coming to me this summer saying, I have an RV. I have a trailer. I want to take it somewhere else and go record voiceover. I'm like, oh boy, yeah. This is going to be fun. Interesting.
You have lots of expertise in that. Anyway, again, if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room. We've got a
There's
bunch
some
of
in there.
Yeah, I know. We have some questions.
Hey, I've seen them too.
I see them. They're right there, right in front of my little hand here. So let's go to the questions from our audience. Mr.
Yeah, Whittle. We'll try to throw to the clubhouse too from time to time.
Yeah.
Let's see. First up in the queue, I see Patricia Andrea. This could be a tech talk question, but we'll throw it to you. And then if you go, you guys answer that, we'll answer it later.
You got it.
If you had to buy a computer now or a desktop computer, could be a laptop for voiceover, what would you get? So what are you using in your studio?
I'm using a Mac Mini. I don't remember what year. I think it's
a little hot plate computer that we all love very much. We're running the show.
Speaking about hot plate, yeah, they get hot. But yeah, I would never do Windows again, which is ironic because I remember being at a FAFCON a million years ago, getting into a debate with.
Did you get into a Mac PC debate with somebody?
Dude, I was so PC back then.
But you were not PC because you were PC.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's something about living in LA. I swear, because I was Windows all the way till I moved to LA in 2004. I started realizing so many of my clients were on Mac and I needed to be more Mac proficient. And there it happens. So if the Mac Mini you're running now is feeling like a hot plate, the new one, the M1 that we're running now is not a hot plate. It does
great
not get hot.
Ear. I've been nervous. It's so new, but I really hear a lot of good things about the M1.
No, we've it's not been flawless. It's you know, in a few months, it'll have had a full year to mature. And that's it's time to jump onto one.
That's
of those.
Not bad.
So do you know if the clubhouse is percolating over there? Is anybody queued up for a question in there? Should you
that
see anybody?
Look like it,
no. Not yet. Okay, cool. We'll just wait and see what pops up in there.
Right.
You want to get the hungry boy?
A question from Mara.
Must be a fan.
Yeah. Does she prefer recording in a cozy size booth or a big room?
Oh,
it's funny you should mention that, hungry boy. The goal is to get myself out of a booth because I started off in a tiny closet, like not a walk-in closet, a closet with jeans in the front and, you know, fur coats in the back. And then I slowly worked my way up to, you know, a whisper room and then a vocal booth and studio bricks. But the goal once we moved was to get me out of the booth and to have a nice, gorgeous, groovy setup, kind of like, you know, like you did for George Sipp back in the day. Joseph. So that's been the goal. So I've got a couple of engineers who've been, you know, working on some stuff. Jordan has been so amazing at getting quotes and getting things handled. The guy actually put together Stevie Wonder's booth, who's kind of assisting us, but it's a little pricey. So I'm probably going to have to wait another year to do that. But the goal is to get out of the booth just for animation, especially because, you know, you got to use your body and move your arms. And when you're in a booth, you have to constantly be mindful of not hitting something.
This is not a good time to do construction.
No,
not now. Give it a little time.
Everything. Yeah. Everything is like triple the price. Everybody's like quitting their jobs. It's a weird time after 2020.
Yeah. It's a crazy terrible time. Yeah.
Yeah. To say the least.
Interesting. Yeah. No. And we've discussed this before that sometimes I know a lot of people are wanting to move into a bigger space and, you know, it requires some different technique and stuff, but it is a heck of a lot more comfortable. You know?
Oh, sure.
You know? Well, Dan, you can work in both spaces. You have the smaller space and the bigger space.
Right. And what my small space is pretty big, too.
Yeah. Well, what do you do in your small space versus your big space?
Well, it's a matter of how, you know, you approach, you know, the copy. You know, I can relax in there. But it's,
you feel more relaxed.
Yeah.
In the booth.
In the booth. But I also, you know, now I work at my desk an awful lot too, because the acoustics are good everywhere in here.
Yeah, it's real. We got it well tuned.
We got it tuned. So it's, I can work in either place. And, you know, if I have somebody recording here, I will send them in the booth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, which helps us a lot as well. But
sure,
you know, but my technique is a little different in a larger room and those sorts of things. So get ready for some changes when you do that.
Do tell. I am curious about the mic technique being different. You'll have to elaborate on that later.
Okay, we can do that. Stay tuned for Tech Talk. We'll be talking about that.
We got Dave G from the YouTube chat. Mara, he asked about Mara. Tell us a little bit about your home studio setup. We just kind of touched on that, but can you share anything about the tech that you're using and what you might be changing in the near future at all?
Yeah, she's got a running doing her tech.
I know you're into it, and I know Jordan is way into it. So,
yes,
what are you liking these days in your studio?
Well, you know, Jordan is just phenomenal. I mean, he's like my in-house, you know, audio engineer extraordinaire. So he's helped me pick, you know, some of the best equipment. So I have to give him most of the credit. But we're doing the Mac Mini for my computer. Interface-wise, I'm on the UAD Universal Audio Apollo X8. Mm-hmm. Because
you can.
Because I forget why we expanded, though. I did start on the Twin. But we needed
because
more
it fits in a rack, and Jordan wanted it to be in a rack. I can almost guarantee you that's why.
I know what it was. No, I did buy a rack, which was nice for the move for sure, because we had everything just kind of roll out. Yeah. But I expanded. I have a lot of different microphones, and my primary day to day microphone lately has been the Townsend Sphere L22 mic modeling microphone, which has kind of eliminated my need to use, you know, my Sennheiser 416 or Neumann U87 and things like that, because it's all right there. And with just a quick little switch, it's so customizable. I mean, you can literally change the axis on this bad boy. You can change the proximity effect. You can change the polar pattern. You can change, you can blend two microphones and have, you know, 10% of this and 90% of it. Like, it's so customizable. You can, you know, customize it to be in your environment, whether you're in a, you're using a chaotic eyeball or a vocal booth or, you know, a little, what are they called? The half filters, the C-shaped filters.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the most customizable mic I've ever seen. And its modeling is eerily accurate. It's really, really, really close. Jordan's done a lot of testing, particularly on the U87 model and the 416, and it's like, I mean, an engineer.
You would never think that a mic that looks like this one, large diaphragm condenser, that the Townsend Labs looks like that. It's just a bit chunkier, but it's the same. But that you could morph that into a mic that looks like this.
Yeah.
One. The shotgun mic.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
It is wild. So that's kind of been my go-to mic day to day. I'm trying to think of any other equipment I may have left out. We change headphones every week. Oh
yeah,
God,
I know. That's why I brought it up. I know you're a headphone nut.
Oh
what,
my
what
God.
Headphones
I think
are you using? Well, right Jordan is too.
Yeah, we both like Jordan is like not helping my addiction because bought like five pairs and then
y'all
he comes
gonna
to
have
my
to
studio.
Enter a 12-step program one of these days.
Totally, like it's really bad. You know, we're both huge audiophiles. It's one of the things we really love about each other and drives each other crazy when we're like tweaking our stereos. Really big audiophiles. So we're very, very nitpicky about every little thing. I think right now I am trying out the Sennheiser HD 380s. Jordan can correct me if I'm wrong, if he's in the chat. I oscillate between so many different pairs. My go-tos used to be the Audio-Technica AT 50Xs, I believe. But now that's one thing about experimenting with headphones, you guys, it will drive you crazy after a while. Like I literally from day to day, sometimes I'll put on three different pair of headphones and I'm like, nothing sounds right, you know, and I don't know which one is the right, you know, because, you know, one might, you know, boost the mid range a little bit. Yeah. One might scoop out, you know, some of the brightness. And so before you know it, you have no idea what the actual baseline is. That's literally, I had this situation yesterday. I was in a video game session and I'm like, help, my booth sounds really boomy and everything. And then I switch, you know, my headphones and all of a sudden everything sounded really canned. And I'm like, I don't know what's right.
Yeah. No, you do want to be careful about that. Yeah. That's why I've been using the same headphones for a heck of a long time.
Yeah.
Because once you know them, I'm using these are the ATH 40s.
Yeah.
Which I know you've used the 50s or maybe the 60s, 70s. You've used a bunch of them, right?
Mm-hmm. A bunch.
I just got in the mail. I didn't mention this yet, but since we're geeking out about headphones, Mara, I got a pair of ATH 2s.
What?
You know what the ATH2 is?
Never heard of the ATH2.
They're made in the 70s. These are 70s Whoa. Audio Technica headphones.
Like plastic they cups
have
on them?
Or? They have a round like leather pad. Like it's very flat. Yeah. I'm telling you, these are not comfortable. They're like vice grips on your head.
But they sound amazing.
They do sound amazing. they're using what they call orthophonic drivers. They're like early magnaplanar driver technology that Audio Technica is working on. And then apparently they just stopped doing it. I don't know why they stopped developing it. So there's still like this weird headphone nerd culture where they modify these to sound a little bit better. Anyway, I got them. It happened
because
now I have
them
and they're different, but they are really, really nice. I'm just trying to decide if I want to tune my head to these new headphones. I'm afraid to do it. Oh, what else is in our queue? Here? We got more questions.
Here's one. Let's see here.
We got Lee Penny.
There's one from Lee Penny.
Right below this one.
Yes. Question. Of the genres you've been involved in, which is your favorite and why?
Like it's probably video. Oh God. Like I said, video games or animation, just something with characters. They're kind of different, right? I mean, video games are great when you really want to work out the drama, you know, when you want to do the villains and just really get into hardcore, just straight dramatic acting. And animation, you know, tends to be a lot more playful and whimsical. And that's always just so much fun too. In their own ways. So I just love anything that really just lets me stretch and play and kind of get into the skin of a character and just become something else. So it's a toss up between animation and video game, but I might lean a little more toward video game because I'm leaning toward the dramatic, but it's hard to say. It's hard to say. It's character work. Let's just say that.
This one's from
Torian Brackett.
Torian. Hi, Amara. And I would like Torian. You to right now for everybody to hear and me to witness the correct pronunciation of your name. Now's your time. Tell us how to say your name.
I'll tell you, but nobody will remember. It's the hardest two-syllable name in the world. It's Mara like Sarah or Mara like marijuana. But
that makes it easier to remember for some reason. I'm not saying
it
why.
It does, but it doesn't. I'm telling you, I try it with everybody. Like agents like who I've had for years, who hear my slate every day, still call me Mara. So I just don't even correct people anymore because literally it's like I don't know what it is. There's a block. Like I promise you, I've tried every trick in the book.
We have a friend, Chris Fries, who got tired of correcting everybody. So it's just now Chris Fries.
Oh, wow.
You might know who that guy is.
Yeah.
F-R-I-E-S. That's his last name.
I don't believe him. Just don't call me late for dinner and I'll answer.
Yeah, well, I went on a tangent there. I had to get an opportunity to get that answered. But Torian says, when did you feel ready to start submitting to agencies?
Oh, God. I mean, we all think we're ready way before we're actually ready, right? I mean, when did I feel it was? That's a great question. I'm trying to think if I ever just woke up one day and was just like, you know what? It's, you know, I don't know. I feel like we all kind of walk into this feeling like I got this. But over time, you know, you go back and you listen to some of your earlier stuff and you're like, what the hell was I thinking? It was not so cute. It's hard to say. I mean, I'll just put it this way, you know, and hopefully this can be encouraging to people. I mean, like I said, I've been doing this since full time, you know, as an entrepreneur since August of 2008. Next month is going to make 13 years. And it hasn't been, I mean, I've been working steadily for a long time and making good money in this. But in terms of doing the work I really wanted to do, you know, like projects in LA and animation and video games, and AAA stuff, and just stuff you recognize as a household name. And, you know, other than like being the voice of AT&T, which nobody cares, I promise. That probably took almost a decade. I'm just now hitting my stride, you know what I mean? To where I'm getting cast for things that I don't audition for, which is just like a dream come true. You know, casting directors are starting to know who I am. more and more, you know, voice directors are starting to know who I am and recommending me for things. Wow. That took a long time. You know, like they say it takes 10,000 hours to master something. It really does, you know, so let that be encouraging to you if you've just been like banging your head against the wall and just feel like there's too much competition out there or just feel like, you know, I don't know if this is, I'm making a dent in anything. It's going to feel that way for a long time. Just you have to keep at it. You have to keep grinding at it every day. I know we were talking earlier about inviting the avalanche, quoting the great Bob Sauer. And, you know, I remember Bob Sauer seeing him at FAFCON. I think it was my first or second FAFCON a million years ago. And one of the best tips I got was from him. And he basically said, just every day, you know, just spend like an hour. It doesn't even have to be time-wise, but just do one thing every day to inch yourself toward your goal. You know, whether that's, you know, I'm going to call two new clients, or whether that's I'm going to, you know, work on coaching with someone today, or I'm going to work on marketing, or, you know, whatever it is. There's a million things that we can take care of. You know, I'm going to, you know, take Jordan Reynolds' awesome, you know, audio course and figure out how to make my studio sound even more badass. You know, whatever it might be, you just spend a little time inching toward your goal. And it doesn't feel like you're making any progress, but you're going to look back in the next year and you're going to see these new buyers that have piled up. You're going to, you know, have new referrals. You're going to make connections and you're going to be shocked at how far you go. And another thing too, don't dismiss, I know right now we're kind of in a Zoom world and we're kind of all getting used to doing everything online and it's great for introverts like me. But I have to say, like going to forcing myself to get on that plane and go to my first FAFCON was one of the best things I could have ever done for my career. Like, don't dismiss the power of conferences and in-person networking, because like I have friendships with wonderful people like you. Like, we probably would have been decently cool up from being on online together all these years, but I don't think we'd be buds the way we are had we not got to hang out in person. There's something that happens chemistry wise. It's almost like, I don't know, going through war with somebody, even though you spend like 1 to 3 days, you know, just having a few drinks and taking notes together. There's just something that happens where you realize like, we're on the same team. We're pals. You're top of mind. I'm going to think about you. I'm going to, you know, call you. I'm going to refer you, whatever. You just become present. You become real. Right. And the friendships I have made through conferences are just out of this world. Not to mention too, a lot of people, you know, kind of poo-poo these conferences as being, you know, for newbies or beginners. As somebody who's, you know, a working talent, and I consider myself a pro at this point, I would dare say there's very few conferences that are really, you know, just for newbies. You know, there's always something. If you walk away from a conference and you didn't learn something new, then you spent too much time in your hotel room. You weren't networking properly. Or in the bar.
Anybody but special you met? Is there anybody special, by the way, that you met at any conferences? Particularly special?
So many. I mean, my goodness, like just right off the top of my head, the phenomenal Portia Scott of Coast to Coast talent agency. Like we hit it off at a voiceover conference several years ago, maybe about 5 years ago now. We hit it off. And before we moved to LA, like she let us like crash on her floor for a week while we were like, you know, home shopping for the house that we wound up renting.
That's not who I'm talking about. She's awesome. Did you not meet Jordan?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, you know, that was a trick question because we actually were connected on Facebook for like 5 years before.
Okay.
We
yeah. You knew each other.
You met Matt.
In the ethers. Okay.
Yeah. So we met.
That was lame, but I
was. Oh, it was quick.
Real quickie, I know Jay Harris Black just wants to give you a shout out. Jay Harris Black, he says, I think we're in Joe Cipriano's promo workout in the past at Avio Atlanta. Great to see you on VOBS.
Oh, hey.
All righty.
Yeah, great to see you too.
Time for one more question here.
All right.
From Patricia Andrea. As a female animation voice actress, where could a newbie start looking for auditions for characters, maybe with an accent?
I have to say, I mean, animation really is the holy grail of voiceover. It's like the hardest genre to break into and the one that everybody wants to get into. So that's another one where I would say absolutely just be patient in terms of like getting a good break and into breaking in, because, you know, you see a lot of the same names over and over and over for a reason. I actually heard from a fellow talent once who's phenomenal and at the top of her game and has had trouble breaking in. You know, she was saying that she talked to an animation, a top animation casting director, who basically says, like, I don't even consider casting someone unless they've auditioned for me, I think, at least 10 times and kind of gotten on my list. And then once they've gotten on my list, then I start even considering a callback and yada yada. Like, there's just a lot of hoops. And then, of course, things have probably changed a lot now that we are, you know, I won't say post-COVID, but in COVID, whatever we're doing right now, where people are getting more opportunities outside of LA. I know a lot of top actors are actually leaving LA. I think Nolan North left LA, Jennifer Hale left LA all in the past few months. But they're very established already and they can do that. But yeah. For the most part, you know, the way the formula used to be, you know, in terms of animation, you really had to be here and have a presence so the casting directors, you know, can bring you in and get comfortable with you. But I, you know, because you got to get those 10,000 hours in somehow, there's all kind of forums and stuff out there. And the proper term escapes me. But I've seen these different forums where basically there are, you know, some are paid. They're not the best paid things. I don't know
what you call them.
Yeah. They're like workouts almost, you know, it's not like cosplay, yeah. But yeah, it's basically where you can do existing characters. I've seen people do it with Minecraft and, you know, just indie, you know, kids putting together shows and stuff where they do castings and things. Look out there. I wish I could give you resources. Unfortunately, I don't have that because it's not a world I've really ventured in much, but there are resources out there where you can audition for smaller projects and just start to get your feet wet. And you can always create your own stuff too. I mean, we're in a time now where you can kind of create your own destiny. I mean, that's kind of what happened with me. You know, I try to tell people, like, I am living proof that, like, if I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, I'm a multiracial, non-binary person from Houma, Louisiana, who had no contacts. And there just wasn't anybody in the industry that looked and sounded like me, that I felt like I was regularly seeing. And I didn't feel like I had any way to ever make it to LA. And I was way too shy and introverted to make it to LA. But no through way. The power of the internet, you know what I mean? Really? I'm telling you, like, if I had to do the old school way of, like, picking up and waitressing and coming here by myself and dealing with the trap, like, it never would have happened, period. But because I was able to use the internet and quietly, passively, aggressively market myself by just setting up profiles and working on my craft and things like that through opportunities like pay-to-play sites and different forums, I was able to get those chops built and build up those 10,000 hours. But yeah, that's the power of what we have now through Clubhouse. You can create your own rooms. Through YouTube, you can create your own channels. You can create your own Instagram Live, your own TikTok. I mean, you can get Insta-famous, you know, as soon as you want. I know some talent who are just building up ridiculous careers through their own YouTube channel. I mean, it happened for Issa Rae on Insecure and HBO. And now she's got a fantastic career because she started off with her own show on YouTube.
Yep. So gotta start somewhere.
You really do. But that's the thing, is it's a blessing, you know, because now the power really is in your hands. There's no need to sit back anymore and say, well, I don't have an agent, or I don't have this, or I don't have that, you know, like, get your friends together, you know, and find writers or write your own stuff. And, you know, if you love it and you put enough passion and time behind it, you know, you can make some magic, and you keep hammering away at it and networking properly. You don't know. The sky's the limit.
No question. Well, Mara, we haven't seen you in so long, and it's such a pleasure to have you here back on our show.
Just a quick note. You just said Mara. See what I mean?
Mara.
That's me.
I've been calling you Mara for 12 years.
I know.
It's Iceland brain.
I'm still thawing out from the glaciers there. Anyway, Mara, thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having me. As always, love you guys so much.
Got to have a housewarming party there for you. In there.
Please. The doors are open. Let's do it.
Outstanding. Mara, as you know, everybody. I had to think about it for a second.
Sarah, Mara, marijuana. That's the one.
That's the one.
All right.
right, George and I will be right back after these messages to wrap things up here.
Yeah, hi, this is Carlos Ellis Rocky, the voice of Rocco, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
In these modern times, every business needs a website. When you need a website for your voice acting business, there's only one place to go. Like the name says, voiceactorwebsites.com. Their experience in this niche webmaster market gives them the ability to quickly and easily get you from concept to live online in a much shorter time. When you contact voiceactorwebsites.com, their team of experts and designers really get to know you and what your needs are. They work with you to highlight what you do. Then they create an easily navigable website for your potential clients to get the big picture of who you are and how your voice is the one for them. Plus, voiceactorwebsites.com has other great resources like their practice script library and other resources to help your voiceover career flourish. Don't try it yourself. Go with the pros. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Well, hey, we haven't done a commercial in this seat before, have
we? That's true. Maybe I could join in on this one.
Absolutely. Well, this is the moment in the show where we dedicate a little bit of slice of time of your time to Source Elements. They're the creators of Source Connect. And a whole lot of new stuff. They are rolling out new products and new things all the time, including the next evolution of Source Connect 4, which is in the works. It's kind of coming out in phases because it's not like just a single app that does one trick. Like Source Connect is a one trick app, sort of. They would probably be pissed if I said that, but it really is just connect you to the studio and let them hear you. And that's really the gist of it. But the next version has a lot more layers to it. And one of those things is Source Live. There's a lot more productions using it, especially during the pandemic. I was hearing a lot of stories of the use of Source Live. And what is that? That's really more of a one direction thing. So if you want to have the studio at the far end, or really more likely the clients, you want to have a lot of clients listening and from their home studios or just their living rooms, anywhere in the world, Source Live is now what they're using for that. And there is a low latency version of it, which is interesting because you could almost use it like a normal Source Connect, right? Mm-hmm. It's just showing kind of what's to come. And the beauty of it is the app lives on the producer's end and the other folks don't need to have one. They don't have to have an app.
That's big.
They're just on a browser, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's coming and it's going to be cool. But don't worry if you've just now thinking about getting Source Connect, there's definitely no reason to wait. You should just get Source Connect 3.9, the current version, because it will be rolled into having those new features, I believe, in the when that comes out. So you're not going to be left. Yes.
And get it now as opposed to when you need it.
Yeah, get it now and learn how to use it.
Yeah,
that's really important. There's a little learning curve just getting it set up, but get it up and running. Anyway, you should go over there, get a demo, get it running, sourceelements.com. And just get your trial license running at least, the very least, so you know how to use it and you're familiar with it. And we thank Source Elements.
We certainly do.
You guys have been supporting us for a long time. Anyway, let's wrap it up so we can then go over to Tech Talk.
Yeah.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
Be like a transition spot. Yeah. Hey, we're back.
Hey, we're back.
We could have that spot transition into the next show somehow. We're time traveling because that's the next week.
That's true.
It's an illusion.
Yes.
I'm literally looking at the mic. I'm not kidding you right now. I'm looking at the microphone as though it's a camera. Is that bizarre? I really need to put some googly eyes on the webcam over there.
I've got some in a drawer.
Please,
somewhere.
Anything.
Put a pair of sunglasses on it or something.
Put a face of, I don't know, something. Gotta look at the camera.
Yeah, not bad for our first run out.
Hey, it went okay
on the couch here, but anyway, next week on this very show, which we're about to record, in case you want to stick around and watch the live version of it, we're gonna do Tech Talk number 60.
Whoa. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so stay tuned for that. And we're going to have some really good stuff for that. But who are our donors of the week?
Can I read them over here?
You can.
Can I read them over there?
Either place.
We got three screens in front of us.
There you go.
I'm good. I got it.
You see like a teleprompter, right?
That's pretty heavy, isn't it?
It is.
Robert Leadham, I'll go fast. Stephen Chandler, Yes I Can Productions. Don Griffith, George Whittam, my dad, Brian Page, Rob Ryder, Patty Gibbons, Anna Bertzel, Greg Thomas, Antland Productions, Son of Pemington Baird, Michael Cairns, Christy Burns, Graham Spicer, Michelle Blanker, Christopher Epperson, Sarah Borges, Philip Sapir, Trey Speaks for You, Thomas Pinto, and Shelly Avellino. All y'all.
I've taught you well.
Just a couple flubs in there. It wasn't solid.
All righty. And we also need to thank our sponsors, of course, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And JMC Demos.
And, of course, thanks to Jeff Holman, who took time out of his busy schedule. He's filming another series.
Killing it.
He's
That's why his email is Hollywood Holman.
He's actually making it happen. It's wonderful watching all these people actually make it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Let's see. And did a great job in Vancouver covering the chat room. Danny Burnside on Clubhouse.
Thank you, Danny.
Our technical director, Sue Merlino, who is, by fire tonight.
She is a champ.
Getting it done. And, of course, Lee Penny for being Lee Penny and asking a question.
It is on the show. Thank you.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to re-rack it up for Tech Talk here. If you've got a question, again, throw it in the chat room. That's going to do it for this particular segment this week. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Stay tuned for Tech Talk.
See you in a minute.
Bye.